just to look at today, very briefly. As some of you will know, many in the church went off to the Catalyst Festival last weekend and a few weeks. But I'm also aware that, you know, when some people come back and they've been away to some event and you think, oh, it's Catalyst this, would you just shut up about Catalyst Festival? Okay, because the people that went thinking, oh, it's fantastic, we had a great time. The people that didn't went, oh, I just feel a bit left out. I don't want to. So I just thought it would be quite good to have just a little bit of feedback. And it's not, we're not trying to make, you know, give feedback to make you feel left out, but actually we just want to make you know what happened, to let you know what happened. We did have a fantastic time. It was a really good time away for the church. So, Kaz, are you all right to come up and just share something? So, Kaz is going to say something, but then if there's anybody else who went away and wants to just come and give a little bit of feedback, that would be really good. And then, Christina, you can come and give some feedback at the end. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
just
fine.
Just anything. What was it like? Was it good?
It was really good. I've got to say, we had a really good time. I'll be honest, I'm not a natural camper. and I've never camped with small children either. So that was interesting. But for me, the highlight was definitely sort of the social aspect of things, just hanging out with everyone from church, eating together, getting to know people better. And also for the kids, I think if you've got young children, they just had such a good time and they just hung out all day together and ate together and just had so much fun. The other highlight for me was also, as a festival, it's really good. So you have meetings in the morning and the evening, but throughout the day, they have what they call zones, and each zone has a theme. So you have stuff about social action or the prophetic, family, like lots of different things. They have seminars for all different age groups. They really try to cater for everyone of all ages. And there was lots of activities for kids to do as well. There was like a big sort of barn area with a massive sand pit and soft play and like all these different things. So you were never bored of anything to do. So there was lots of choice. So yeah, they'd be sort of my main highlights, really. I did manage to make it to one meeting that was really good. Right. I should probably talk about the God side of stuff, shouldn't I? But the meeting that I did go to was great. The worship was really good. The preaching was great, but also just talking to people coming back from the meetings, they just said how how well fed they were, really. Just really great time in that as well. So yeah, I definitely encourage you guys, if you didn't go this year, do come next year. And you can stay in a caravan if you want, so you don't have to camp.
Fantastic, well done. Thank you very much. Let's give Kaz a round of applause. Anybody else want to come up? Come on.
I really felt that going to Catalyst felt like going home, and it was just a really, really great thing to be amongst all sorts of other churches and stuff. It just felt really like we were back at home.
Fantastic.
It was really good. But the one thing that I want to bring to you is that there was somebody who was about 10 years old. They got experiences of people, testimonies of people who were in the kids' work. And there was this kid who was about 10 years old. And he felt that somebody in his kids' group were ill in the shoulder. So he prayed to God, which group is he? How am I going to find this kid within all of the different kids? And the kids were split into three zones, red, green, and blue. And he had the word something like blue. But then blue was also split into five groups. So he prayed again, and well, which number? And he was like number three. So he went to blue three and said, somebody here has got a problem with their shoulder. And he went, and they said, yeah, it's me. So he prayed for them, and instantly that kid got healed.
Fantastic. Very good.
And the amazing thing, he can continue doing it. So he immediately, he went and said, okay, give me something else. So he put it, and yeah. something else. occurred to him, and he went to that colour, to that number, and exactly the same thing happened, and it happened again and again and again and again. It happened 5 times in one session.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing.
That's very good. Fantastic. Thank you. Well done. It was about the kingdom of God breaking out, and that's what it's about in the Bible, isn't it? That's what we should be doing. Anybody else wants to share? Zara, come on down. Come on. Okay.
Thanks. Hello, everyone. Catalyst has been a mighty experience for me, especially going on the Sunday just for the day visit, even though I couldn't make the 4 days with Duncan and the family. I saw the unity of a large family that is growing and extending, headed by Duncan and the team. It was a breathtaking experience to see the love, the way even they wash up together. It was amazing. And the children, lost in the woods. If you have children, that is the place to
be.
Can
I just check, did all the children come back that went? Yeah, I hope they did.
It's been a phenomenal experience being here in London, England. I haven't been away except for Centre Parks with just a small group to experience something like that. I honestly try not to lie, so I would really recommend next year, if you couldn't make it, book a time, because it's by you being there is the only way you can experience it. I was mightily blessed by a 4-year-old child. I sat in a tent and this child came out of nowhere and said, I have a secret to tell you. And I was like, okay, where is your parents? Like, I said, what is it? He said, I'm a friend of God. I said, okay, can I be his friend? He said, yes. So I said, would you pray for me? He took my hand and he prayed to God so I could be his friend.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the parents were really stunned. And I'm like, okay, what do I do next?
Fantastic. Well done, Charles. Thank you. It's great.
For me, Catalyst
okay,
is...
Okay, you have to hold it. There.
Okay.
That's it.
Hello, guys. I've been to Catalyst since when I was in Birmingham. So this year was my 3rd year when I was going to Catalyst. So when I joined to Trinity in October, when I came to your house and I started to speak about Catalyst, and I said, it's amazing. You need to go, Duncan. We need to go. It's just fantastic. And I thought if Trinity is not going to go this year, I will go with my old church. And so I was so pleased, you know, you joined with the Catalyst.
Yeah, yeah.
But Catalyst always the small vision of heaven for me. Mm. And every time when I go, I powerfully feel the God's work in my life. And I see everybody. My daughter last year met with God. And it was amazing. From last year, she wanted to be baptized. And I just want to say, Catalyst, it's the place. You can meet with God everywhere. I'm sorry, even in the bathroom. but the Catalyst, it's so powerful. The kids' work they're doing, the guys, they're doing kids' work over there. It's amazing. It's fantastic. My son was saying, when we came from Catalyst, my son said, can we go again next year? I said, yeah, of course we're going to go again. But I just going to say, encourage you guys, please go next year. It's God's amazingly touch everybody's heart. So...
Fantastic. Thank well you, done, Zara. Thank you. Thank you very much. Christina, come on.
I got to get up close with that. I want to laugh. So we, at Catalyst, we have a very large fridge. It's the size of a trailer. Please remember, it's not my idea. So we decided that...
Can I just interrupt here? Okay.
Yeah.
When Christina says we had a fridge that was very large, If you know horse box, okay, we ordered two fridges into our marquee, and one of them didn't seem to work on the first day. So Christina, full of wisdom, rang up the fridge company and said, "We need another fridge." And they delivered this thing. It was like a refrigerated lorry, okay, parked around the side of our tent. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So, in a miracle way, the fridge started working. So this large fridge just outside the market was doing nothing. So people like Steve Newbury there, Jonathan, myself, and Bryn, we said, it's a bit of waste of space there, so shall we do something about it? So we went to conspire with other men who rejected our offer of bringing Duncan into the chiller. So we work out how many men do we actually need to bring Duncan there. So most men back out, except for three strong men there. We thought, it's not enough. They're just not strong enough for Duncan. So, because he will fight, he will kick, and we don't want to get ourselves injured. So we decided to work on his weakness. So we said, "Duncan, there is a fire-burning smell from the fridge." So knowing Duncan, he's eager to go and solve the problem. So he went there to check, and we push him in. And we lock him in there. And
Can I interject at this point? Okay. So they... They knew, okay, that if there's a smell of burning in the fridge, I thought, I'll just go and have a quick look at it. Open the door to this fridge, okay, and I smelled them. No, there's no, and just like was propelled. And I knew, okay, basically I'm not going down with a fight, without a big fight, okay. So I knew I'm going to take some of these blighters with me, okay. And I just clung on to them for dear life, okay. And I thought, I think it was you I was clinging on to. And Steve was, and I thought, no, you are coming in here with, if I'm going to suffer in this fridge, if I'm going to be locked in this dark box of a fridge. And I thought, I didn't know, I thought they were going to turn the thing on. And then I thought they were going to hitch you up to some trailer and take me off to some far-flung part of this campsite. So I thought,
That's a good idea for next year.
Yeah, I'm not going in there on my own. So I was fighting, and I was holding on to these guys. No, I'm not going in on my own. And then I saw this catch on the door, on the inside of the door. And I thought, I know how these things work. Okay, they haven't spotted the catches there. And then I thought, that's fine, I'll go in. Knowing that when I was inside, I could lift up that latch and both of the doors would push open. Except they didn't. So in the end, I willingly submitted and went into this ridiculous fridge. Anyway, Christina, I hope there's a godly point coming out of this.
Yeah,
Christina.
Is a godly point coming out. I was, this morning we were praying, and this picture just brings me so much joy because I just feel myself skipping around because the picture just reminded of, especially for people like myself who has a father figure that is so fierce, like a lion or tiger, that you can't approach them for joy and you are always so fearful. But this picture just tells us that, just make me feel like our God is a God that loves our laughter, loves to have fun with us. And the fact that we could do that to Duncan, because he's a...
Yeah,
but it's just the fact that he loves it too. I'm sure you love it, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So the fact that I just want to say that we could actually laugh and dance with our Heavenly Father. He would love to hear our laughter, and do not see him as somebody when you make a mistake and he's going to come here with a rock and hit you. No, he wants to dance. He wants to love. He wants to laugh with us, and he wants to have joy. Us to have joy in him.
Yeah. Amen. Very good. Thank you, Christina.
Watch your back next
year. Yeah. I will. I'll watch my back next year. When Christina orders a pair of gallows to take to Catalyst next year, I wonder. If you got your Bibles, can you turn to John chapter 15? And we're going to do something just slightly different. But before we do that, did anyone notice the song that Jerry wrote this morning? That Jesus speaks a better word. So I said to Jerry, "Did you write that song?" And he said, "Oh, that little chorus? Well, yes, yeah, sort of." And he just... But I thought that was something... an extraordinary song. And did you know what? Over the last like few weeks and few months, I listened to some other songs that I may have mentioned that Lisa wrote the other day. And I was just almost moved to tears by some of the creativity and the musical ability that is coming out from within the church. And so I thought, I know you don't underestimate what you did, Jerry, but that song you wrote was just absolutely fantastic. And the songs that other people have written, we just want to celebrate it and think, oh God, come on us, make us more creative to catch the heart of God, and that somehow we can express to God that incredible joy through the songs that we write. And I just want to say, more of you, write more songs that are absolutely outstanding. And what I want us to give a round of applause. But no, not yet. Please not yet. Please not yet. Because, you know, a few weeks ago I talked about a 50-50 clap. Okay. I don't want to do a kid. There was a kids program called 50-50, and it was in a studio, and all the kids, you know what would have happened. The kids would have been in there all day long, and the production company would say, okay, kids, you've got to cheer now. And they would all go, hooray. Hooray. Okay, cheer again, kids. Hooray. And it was just really... In fact, in our family now, we have this saying, it's a 50-50 cheer, you know. Hooray! I want us to give an enthusiastic clap for some of the creative people in here, that as we clap, more creativity would be released in the church. Is that okay? Yeah. Let's go. Very good. Absolutely brilliant. John 15, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read John 15, the first 17 verses of John 15, and please don't clap in the same way, but I'm not going to preach from it. What I'm going to try and do is we're just going to try and minister out of it. So actually, I don't know, Jerry, is it possible for you to come back after I've read this? Just so we could, and Claire, are you okay to come and do some stuff on there? That'd be really helpful. I'm just going to read these first 17 verses of John 15 because I feel God will speak to it, and there are some key things out of there that I feel God wants to speak to us about. This is Jesus speaking to you. And it says this. Jesus says this to you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear even more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, says Jesus, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you will bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have always kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. But you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit, and fruit that should last. So whatever you ask your Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Jerry and Claire, could you come out? Is that okay? I feel this is it's a passage that just talks about being fruitful. And I know that as I look around, I see some extraordinarily fruitful people. And I see the evidence of your life, and I hear the stories about the way that you go and care for people, and you love for people, and the way that you pray for people, and the way that you bring the kingdom into your workplace. And this is an extraordinary passage about how you can become even more fruitful. And even if you're sitting here this morning and think, I am not actually a very fruitful person, God this morning wants to make you more fruitful in Him. And so the first thing I feel God wants to say to you is this. Do you feel your life is being pruned? And what we're going to do is, I just got, I think, four areas or so. And if you feel if I just call out some of these areas, we're just going to pray into it. And I'd ask if you feel particularly prophetic and you feel you've got a prophetic word about some of these areas, I'd love you to come up and share it, that we might hear the heart of God in it. But do you feel that your life is being pruned? Do you feel that stuff is being taken away from you? Do you feel that some stuff was really there in your life, but actually almost God is cutting it off from you at the moment? Well, God is saying to you now, He's doing that you might be more fruitful. But can I just ask, and we're just going to respond in this in a number of different ways. Do you feel that you are having, your life is being pruned at the moment? And if it is, can you just raise your hand where you are? Fantastic. Actually, can I ask you to do something else? Can I ask you to stand? Just stand. This is truth. This is the truth that Jesus wants to speak into your life today. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it might bear even more fruit. And Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for my beloved brothers and sisters who feel that there is stuff being taken away and their lives are being pruned. And God wants to speak to you right now. He is pruning your life that you might be even more fruitful. That the fruit that you see in your life now will multiply as you go through a process of being pruned. And anybody who loves gardening knows that it is a way to increase the fruitfulness. Because when you cut a branch just by the leaves, branches start growing out from where you cut it, and two branches started growing out. So Holy Spirit, I want to ask, would you come and minister to these dear people now? Let what you have pruned in their lives be multiplied to become even more fruitful. Father, thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. If you're near somebody that's standing up, why don't you just put your hand on them? If you feel comfortable doing that, just reach out and put your hand on them.
Just feel for you that have responded to this word. The Father's word for you is that you've probably been in a season where you're being reasonably fruitful. Some of you just in your own giftings and your own strength. And the Lord really impressed on me an image of the pyramids, which symbolized the glory of what man could do. But then I saw the pyramids crumble and a building being built that actually would be scientifically impossible to build, with curves and arches on it that are just actually, they're not possible to stand. And I feel the Father was saying, I'm going to release a fruitfulness in you that is beyond what you can do in your own strength. that is beyond what you can do in your own gifting. And it only comes forth because of my Spirit in you. And I just want to release that over you right now, that you would be a Holy Spirit empowered and strengthened people to bear fruit that is humanly impossible. That you would receive promotions in your workplace, that you'd gain influence and favor with key people in society, that you'd be amazing at home looking after your children in every area and every sphere of your life, that you'd be fruitful in only a way where you could turn around and say, that was because of God working in my life. That was because I chose to rely on Him, and He elevated the gifts that He placed in me and did a supernatural thing. There is much fruitfulness coming upon you as you learn to lean in and lean on the Lord.
You can stay standing, or you can sit down, but you might want to stand up later on in a minute. It's fine. The key thing is that we meet with God. The next passage, it says, the next verse, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you'll bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And I think there's something about abiding in God that I feel God wants to speak to us about. And actually, sometimes I know so many things happen in life and you just rush on and you do stuff. But I feel God wants to say to you, I want to look you right in the eye. I want to look you eye to eye, face to face. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I have plans for you. But I want you to abide in me. I want you to make choices that enable me to look at you in the eye. And I want you to make choices, whether it's to be in the Bible or whether it's to be spent time praying. I want you to abide in me, says the Lord. I want you to be somebody who is so keen to spend time with me, to waste time with me, to come and abide with me more and more. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. So I just want to ask you now, if your life has just become too busy to know the grace of God looking into your life, and if you've crowded too many other hobbies or sports or anything, stuff that is really good stuff, but you've just become too busy to abide in Christ, to have time just to sit and to know God's goodness, can I ask you to stand again? And we're just going to pray for you like we did before. I am standing now, but if I was sitting, I would be standing. Just as we stand, let's sing together. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your. Your Heavenly Father would want to say to us that he just loves it when we come to into his presence. He's never too busy. He lays all his other plans to one side. He gladly comes when we want to be in his presence. He will never turn us away. And he has a tender heartedness towards us with great affection. He loves it when we come to him and when we just rest in his presence, when we live our lives from a place of resting in Christ. When the truth of who he has made us to be washes over our lives. And I feel God wants to wash over us again this morning and just say, come, just sit in my presence, waste time with me and allow my gaze to look into your life more and more. Come and abide with me. And when Jesus would say to us, when you abide in me, ask whatever you want and it will be granted, because you'll catch my heart and I will make you more and more fruitful, fruitful beyond what you can bear. Father, thank you.
So I went up for ministry at Catalyst, and I was praying actually for that thing that God would, that I would see greater fruitfulness when I pray for people, or that when we ask God for stuff, that things would be done. And I was prayed for, and the guy prophesied over me, and I want to prophesy over us as a church as well. And he said that actually, in the past, it's felt like there have been doors that have been locked and bolted, and places that you cannot go, and that, you know, there's things that you'd want to see happen and haven't seen happen. And he said that God says that he is going to, in actual fact, God said those doors are already unbolted, and that God is going to kick them down. And I love that. I love the violence of it, actually. I love the fact that God's not just going to open it gently, but he's saying, no, it is gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to pray that as we abide in you, and as we look for the breath of your spirit, Lord, that those doors would already have been kicked down, Lord, yeah, that there would be no place where actually we don't see you pouring out your spirit and bringing answers. But Lord, that you would open up those doors, and that we would be able to walk through with a real confidence, Father. So, Lord, we want to declare it over us, Lord, those areas in our lives where we just see that there's like a shut door. Lord, I want to proclaim your open heavens over it, Father, that we would walk through in Jesus' name.
Before the service, we were praying, and I had a picture of a light bulb that had sort of insects flying around it, because obviously insects are sort of drawn to that light. They kind of find it almost mesmerizing, and kind of, yeah. And I just felt like there's someone here who, in their life, they've experienced some sort of coincidences and things that where God is actively drawing them, like drawing them to him, but they haven't acknowledged it, or you haven't sort of noticed that that's what's happening, or you've noticed but haven't done anything about it. And I just believe that God is saying that I am actively drawing you to me, so say yes, come to me, because, you know, I'm here and I'm for you. So just come and abide in me.
Okay, we're going to move on. Next verse. You can just do what you want. You can stand up or sit down. It's fine. It says this: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love. And it just says again and again and again, abide in my love. And then Jesus says, it just repeats it. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And there's a verse in Isaiah 41, and Abraham is called God's friend. And it talks about Moses being looked at face to face with Jesus. And I just feel God this morning wants to say to you, no, I am your friend. And Jesus, and sometimes it's quite hard, isn't it, with God, our Heavenly Father. We can't actually sort of like understand it, visualize it. But no, Jesus says this to you: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He loves you. He loves you. And you just need to know that this morning. You need to know the affection of Jesus Christ in your heart. And you think, no, I don't deserve it. I'm this. You don't know what I'm really like. You don't know what I've done in my life. Well, Jesus does. And guess what? He has still loved you because he decided to. He decided to. And if you feel that you're too unlovely for Jesus, it takes away the whole power of the cross, because the cross is about this. He knows that you don't deserve to be loved, but he chose to do it anyway. He chose to love you in any case. That's the beauty of the gospel. That is the beauty of what Jesus has done for you. And so these verses here: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I just want, could we all stand for this? Heavenly Father, Father, I want to thank you for the time when, Lord, you first showed me that you loved me in all my teenage angst and worries. Something cut through and I just knew that you loved me and that you had plans for my life. And I want to ask, Lord, that we would be a body of people, a church, a group of friends, an army, that we'd be all these different pictures, but above all else, we would be the ones who are loved by you, that know that we are loved by you. And sometimes we need to declare over ourselves the truth. When the enemy would want to come and say something different, we need to declare the truth over our lives. And I don't know if you noticed, but when we started this morning, Jill came up and hosted, and she said, "No, I am a leader in this church." And she was just saying the truth, but she was declaring something. And as she declared that, it actually brings greater freedom. I think it'll bring greater freedom for other people, other women, to be leaders in the church. But sometimes we need to declare truth over our lives, and sometimes we just need to say, no, I am a woman and I am a man that is loved by God. And as we say it over ourselves, something happens and we begin to believe it, because the scriptures say it time and time again, that God so loved the world, abide in me as I have loved you, as I have been loved by the Father, so I have loved you. The truth is, you are loved by Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Father, thank you.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Duncan is speaking from John 15 today. All week I've been meditating on John 15:16, which says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." And God really spoke this to me all over the last few weeks, but particularly at Catalyst, he just really reminded me that I've been chosen and commissioned to go and bear fruit. And that, of course, isn't just for me, this is for all of us. All of us who have given our lives to Jesus here, we might think that we chose him, but actually he has chosen us. Yeah. We are chosen. So you can feel really special. The Lord has chosen you, and he's chosen you to bear fruit. So, and he's qualified us, because many people feel, oh, I don't have the words to say. But actually, this verse says, "I have chosen you and I have appointed you to bear fruit." Actually, it's inevitable that you will bear fruit. So just know, go with confidence. And he says, "I've chosen you to go and bear fruit."
Amen.
So sometimes God might call you to go somewhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be abroad. It can even be in the supermarket, that you speak to one of the cash the people at the cash tills, and you just tell them about Jesus, about what he's done for them, and it will bear fruit. Your words will bear fruit.
Amen.
You are chosen, you are commissioned. But actually the very last part of that verse is really exciting. It says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So ask big. Ask big, because it's an amazing last verse. You're chosen, you're appointed, and he will give you whatever you ask, and you will bear fruit.
Amen. Ask big. You know, this is quite good fun, really. I'm quite enjoying this, because none of the people that have come up and shared, I haven't prompted them or primed them at all. Joe, did you have something to share now?
I was just reminded of an apple tree. And how often, you know, the apple tree doesn't have to be reminded that it has to bear apple fruit. It just is. And, you know, Lisa has spoken so many times about who we are in Christ. And sometimes we need to be remember who we are and that we just need to abide. And the fruit will definitely come forth. I also had I remember the blue sky. And, you know, sometimes we see the gray clouds and we forget that the sky is always blue. So no matter what happens in your life, just remember that the sun is always there, you know, and you just don't have to waver. Just stand in God's word. And in due season, you will bear fruit because you are an apple fruit,
Amen.
Apple tree.
Amen.
And it's, you know, it just stands. You will bear apples.
Very good. Well done. Thank you. Okay. I'm not really sure how the whole standing up, sitting down thing is going. So just do whatever you want to do. Okay. At the moment, but just last few minutes. Verse 10 says this. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. I suspect that there are things that God is calling you to do that you need to just, to be honest, be obedient about. You know, and you might think, oh no, I don't really want to. No, there's a call of obedience on your life. To do what God is calling you to do. And I just urge you, please don't ignore it. Please don't put it to one side. Please don't say, no, I won't. But there is joy and there is fruitfulness that comes from being obedient to what God is calling you to do. And then you'll think, I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't know how I can afford it. I don't know the circumstances of your life, but I do know this. God calls you to a life of obedience. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Heavenly Father, I want to pray now that you would put steel in the convictions of many of us here today to no longer procrastinate, no longer put things off, but this call to radical obedience to what you have called us to do. And I think it could be things like with money, it could be things with taxes, it could be in relationships, it could be about speaking to somebody in truth and in love, it could be about being reconciled to somebody, it could be, I don't know, it will be as many different things as there are people in the room multiplied by 100,000. But God's called you. What God speaks into your life, please, I urge you to be an obedient man or woman to what the call of God is on your life. The best thing of all is this. He says this, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. If you are obedient, you'll be a lot more joyful because you know you're operating what God's called you to do. The last one that I want to look at, and then we're just going to do a little bit more praying, is this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on and says, you're just no longer servants. Forget the whole thing about being a servant. I do not want to call you servants. I want to call you my friends. And as I have befriended you, says my paraphrase version, I'm asking you to be the friends of others, to love one another. And I know that there is extraordinary freedom that comes in the body of Christ when there is a genuine love for one another. So Holy Spirit, I want to ask you, as we understand afresh how you have loved us, would we be people that show extraordinary love for other people? You know, there are some standard bearers of people who care for other people in the church. And knowing who they are, I really want to call them out, but I'm not going to, because I just know the people you are, it would embarrass you if I was to stand up here and to say, but I think you know the people you are because you spend hours caring for other people. You spend hours speaking words of truth into other people. You are always going around and seeing people. You're always having an encouraging word for somebody else. And I refuse to embarrass you, but I refuse also to not acknowledge you in front of the whole body of Christ, because you are standard bearers of people who demonstrate extraordinary love for people. And God, I want to pray you'd make me more like some of these people. And we ask, oh God, would your love become just prevalent through this church? I pray that your kingdom would reach out to many, many people. I pray that there'd be hundreds of non-believers that we are in contact with that would know what it is to be loved by somebody who is loved by their Heavenly Father. Come on, Lord, I pray.